Hey, everybody. In this episode, we discuss ad nauseum the WAGME United NFT drop today. A soccer team was purchased in the UK by a bunch of big name players in the NFT space, including G Funk, G Money, Gary Vaynerchuk, a lot of G's there. And an NFT representing, the club is being dropped today. So we talk a lot about that. We talk about World of Women and the airdrop that just came out to World of Women holders and maybe World of Women Galaxy holders. And then we also talk about the differences between fine art plays versus collectibles or more startup NFT projects. As usual, our content is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code THENIFTY on your FTX mobile app. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is the NFT Morning Show. It's Wednesday. This is the show where we dive into all of the market activity going on in the NFT space. We do the show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Shout out to our sponsor, FTX. Sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code THENIFTY on your FTX mobile app. We talk all things what's going up, what's going down, who's working, who's hurting in the NFT space. Can't wait to dive into it today. Nifty Nick, my co-host, how are you?
Does anybody hear Pio? I just can't tell if he's here.
Are you being serious?
Anybody know if he's here? I just can't hear
him.
I don't know. It's weird.
I can hear him.
How's it going?
Are you suggesting that I was too loud, Nick? Is that the joke you're making there?
No, I was just pulling a little prank. You know, you got punked. That's what happened there. A little prank on Pio.
Wow. Okay. Well, you got me.
I like how you thought that you got to realize, like, me injecting that statement right after you say, Nick, and then I'm like, anybody? But you, right. Anyways, moving on. I'm doing pretty well.
Well, that's great to hear, buddy. Nick, the...
That was your question, so I decided...
I mean, look, this has been an electric start. I feel like everybody's on the edge of their seats to see what you're going to say next, Nick. Why don't I throw to my other wonderful co-host, Signal. Signal, how are you this morning?
Well, yeah, I'm okay. I'm kind of annoyed. I'm in a co-working space, and there's this booth that I use every single day, so it's nice and quiet when I speak, and there's someone asleep in it. He's sleeping in the booth, and this is the booth that everyone does to do their calls for work, and I'm thinking, should I go and prod him and wake him up?
Yeah, wake his ass up.
Like one of those vertical ones?
I'm in a WeWork, and if anyone's been in there, you know you have these private booths where you can do your calls, and they're all occupied, and the guy is sleeping in one of them, and I'm like, oh, I kind of want to just poke him with a stick so I can go in there. So if you guys hear noise, I'm sorry about that. The guy is sleeping in my booth.
I want to understand the booth situation. That's just one that fits just a chair and has like a mini desk in front of it?
Yeah, that one.
How is he sleeping in that? Just like sitting on the chair and putting his head on the desk?
Yeah, his head is just resting on the wall. He's like, and the light goes off when you're in those booths and you're not talking in there because it goes on movement. And yeah, I'm very close to poking him with my laptop and just being like, get out.
It's an interesting thing to be doing like in the afternoon. Like, I feel like if it was like 7 in the morning, I'd be like, okay, did this guy like sleep here overnight? Like, what's the situation? But it's the afternoon there, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I think it's the usual too much carbohydrates. And now I need an afternoon little nap before, yeah, go at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, I like that's it. In it. Well, yeah, I'd like to actually hear you bang on the door.
We want to hear it on the show.
Like so. I want to live stream what's going on there. So if you could like kind of it doesn't need to be a physical altercation, but I think any sort of shock and surprise by him would be quite compelling. That's the only booth in the office as well, and he's sleeping in it. That just seems like quite selfish.
Yeah, but then I'm gonna have to scream at him in French and just be like "dégage, bouge," and then I'm gonna have to turn to get out, and he's probably gonna be very upset with me. So for now, I'll let him sleep. I'm good. I've got my energy. I didn't have carbs at lunch, so I'm ready to go.
I did like yesterday. Definitely hit me. Actually, no, for dinner. That I didn't realize the impact that would have. But wow, let me tell you. Too much bread.
What'd you eat for dinner, Nick?
I had like a lamb kebab style thing, but then there was this like garlic bread associated with it that I think just put me over the edge, you know?
And so it was like garlic bread took you down.
It took me down. I was just knocked out. It was insane.
Well, dude, I like picture out. You just overloaded on carbs and passed out. I like the idea of it. Nick, I saw you post that you thought the riff from before failed. I wasn't trying to make the riff fail, buddy.
Wow.
If you want to hit me.
Let's, okay. Yeah, yeah. We don't need to debate. Again, we don't need to debate it. We don't need to debate it live on this on the show.
Okay.
I did have something from yesterday though, but I didn't know if we were waiting for after the weather report.
Is it NFT, Tucker? Is it
yeah, it's NFT related.
Yeah, we can wait till after the weather report.
Oh, now we're waiting. Okay, cool. Because, I mean, well, stick around, everybody. Then I'll say what's on my mind.
Okay. All right. Well, no better time than to get into the weather report. I also, I think I botched the introduction. I didn't shout out the wonderful co-host Captain Kicks and Easy Eats Bodega and the badass speakers Spencer, Gordon, Sand, and Depeche Node. So really excited to have the whole squad here for the show today. But over to Captain Kicks for his trademarked weather report. Captain Kicks, how are you this morning?
Hello. How you doing, Pio?
I can't tell if that was just you doing a voice or if it was like a vocal transformer.
This is Captain Kicks, weatherman on the NFT love train. We got ups, we got downs, we got love, we got drama, and we got free drinks at the bar, which you can find in Car 7B and 25A. Why don't you grab a seat, the drink of your choice, and let's dive into another weather report full of love. Today is Wednesday, the 6th of July, OpenSea volume coming in at an anemic $14 million, but we're still making that money rain. We don't care. When we're looking over at the leaders in the NFT space, apes at 92, mutants at 18, punks at 67, just holding up real nice. Moonbirds back down to 25 ETH. Doodles moving up slowly but steadily, 13.5, and CloneX at 12. Over the weekend, we had some great news. Other Deed continues to lead the OpenSea ranks. Crowd favorite Micah G mentioned yesterday, today is the tech demo. Floron Deed's heading back up towards that juicy three floor. ENS domains continue to have top three volume. While OpenSea had some of the lowest volume this year, ENS domains had their third highest month in revenue, over 2,500 ETH in June. Pre-mint collector passes had strong volume after the founder tweeted they finalized Pre-mint's first acquisition and will be announcing more details soon. I happened to meet the guy that's getting acquired. Real stand-up chap. Floor on those collector passes are 1.2 ETH. For G-Money holders, it continues to rain cash, as NFT Nick likes to say. Admit One has been quietly tearing. After minting only 5 weeks ago, that floor is sitting at a juicy 23 ETH. In the crypto markets, we have Bitcoin in an epic battle with that 20K floor, just shy of it at 19.9. And we got ETH sitting at a healthy 1,128. Will it go up? Will it go down? Can't wait to hear from everyone on the stage what they think. Back to you in the studio, Pio.
Fantastic. That was a weather report live from the Love Train. Thank you, Captain Kicks. That was absolutely great. How long is the trip on the Love Train, Kicks? Is it like an overnight journey? Is it many months? Like, how long is that journey?
Once we clip your ticket, you can stay on the train as long as you like. You can get on, you can get off. It's up to you, Pio.
Nice. Okay. Nick, you mentioned that you had something NFT or crypto related you wanted to dive into. What is it? You're muted, buddy.
Oh, I was just going to say, I forgot. I don't even remember anymore.
Are you serious?
I think, Nick, you were going to talk about your analysis you dropped on Twitter yesterday where you shared that you think the transactional volume is still looking quite healthy.
It is, yes. That's correct. I just thought that was interesting that, I mean, look, let's be honest. There has been a price capitulation on NFTs. So, like, you can't ignore that aspect of things. but the NFT unit volume is actually higher month over month. And the number of traders, while down from its peak back 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months ago, I guess that's around December, it's actually, it's not down that much, and the unit volume is still high. And I saw a lot of comments saying, well, that was thanks to free mint season. I don't really care why it is. I'm just saying, like, that's the unit sales volume. I'm not suggesting that, like, all is fine and dandy in NFT land, but it is interesting to see. Someone's tagging me in the Discord saying active wallets is pretty damn pathetic. I'm not saying that it's, there's not negative sentiment, that things aren't completely, you know, like haven't, there hasn't been some suffering, but I'm just simply saying that, like, it feels dead. There's a feel, and a lot of people have just assumed that there's not a lot of activity, but quantitatively, it's showing that there is activity, and that's still going on. So it's not, you know, not everything is all negative.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, that's great to know. We can talk about whether we're at bottom now or if we expect, you know, some more bottoming here in the next few months. You know, when the volume in the NFT space is dragging like that, it just doesn't make you feel good. It makes you feel like it's going to be really hard to get people to onboard. And I know personally, I've kind of shifted to accumulation of like Bitcoin and Ethereum, like the primary crypto assets. I don't know if anybody on stage has just been like scooping up NFTs. I know short of ENS domains, and I don't really consider those NFTs in the same way that you'd consider, like, you know, World of Women an NFT. I don't know.
They're both like, an NFT.
I know they're both an NFT, but one is kind of like got a different feel to it than the other, than literally like an ENS domain. I don't know who's really like buying stuff on a daily basis right now. Obviously, we've had some isolated wins like Moonbirds. Chromie Squiggles has continued to quietly climb as well. It's pushing a 12 ETH floor.
I'm getting pissed off about that. We don't need to discuss that one.
Yeah, so that's an example of, you know, an art, like an art piece running a little bit. But yeah, I'd say the stories of today, when you kind of look at the market, are definitely OtherDeed, and OtherDeed will continue to be a story for the next week and a half or so until that tech, that playable demo actually comes out. And I think people are maybe anticipating some announcements alongside with it. Moonbirds.
Are you just saying that I'm just completely wrong and this was shitty analysis?
No. I'm saying it was
kind of what
analysis.
It feels like. How I'm feeling.
I enjoyed the analysis. I also appreciate that you're pointing out that people are still participating in the NFT market. I hope they are, because otherwise, you know, we're going to redefine what illiquid JPEGs really means. But yeah, I mean, I think the stories of the day are OtherDeed. You know, we're expecting an announcement from Moonbirds. World of Women just airdropped to World of Women holders a capacitor, and they're playing the kind of mystery game. We don't really know exactly what the capacitor is for. They also said that World of Women Galaxy holders are going to be receiving the capacitor also. However, they haven't yet, and they put out a tweet that was like, where's the capacitor for World of Women Galaxy holders? What's going on with that? So these are kind of, you know, some of the stories of the day, besides people still aping into ENS domains that are either, you know, Western numbers or numbers from other cultures like Arabic numbers, which have become incredibly popular and have really become like one of the biggest wins of the NFT space. I mean, this year, it's kind of like a 0.1 ETH or 0.2 ETH to 30 ETH kind of play, depending on how many digits your ENS domain was. But yeah, I mean, let's kind of dive into it. Oh, go ahead.
Did you also see CoffeeZilla's video that was like NFT NYC was a complete disaster?
Well, that was such a weird video.
Yeah, I mean, it was a video that a guy that does YouTube for a living put out because he needed like YouTube content. I actually watched the first half of the video, and then I realized like he's just making a video to kind of fill time a little bit. There were some decent jokes in there. It wasn't all bad. He's a professional YouTuber, has over 1 million subscribers. Good job, CoffeeZilla. You made content for this week, buddy.
Okay.
Do you have a different opinion, Nick?
I just thought it was interesting, the fact that he like did this thing. It's just like his whole format now is like an expose on crypto, but he doesn't seem to fully get crypto. And so he's just like shitting on it because he doesn't have any other, I guess, like projects or scams to point out. It's one of the same things that I DM'd with NFT Ethics.
Did you?
Back in the day. I mean, right after they started. I tried to have them on the show. And then I said, would you want to come on the space? They said they wouldn't. And but I think the biggest issue that they run into is that you're like constantly in search of like the worst of things. And so it just creates this like negative thing where you just have to write negative shit all day long. And so there's no like bright side to any of it. And at the same time, he's also tweeting like, oh, well, Jim Cramer posted about the meme that happened. I guess that was yesterday or 2 days ago when he was like, crypto is worthless, should go to the bottom. And everyone was like, I guess he's effectively called the bottom. And I saw some data indicating as much that tends to actually show that. But I think also simultaneously, it's just weird. It seems like he's trying to somehow like thread the needle and play both sides and be like, well, there's good parts of crypto, but NFTs are like the bad part of crypto. It was just interesting to see. And everything in there was just about how shitty the event was, which you can debate the conference.
He wasn't even at it though. Like, he didn't even go.
I don't know. It's just it's like a weird thing. He just used clips from it and then was like, this is stupid.
I mean, but real quick, if you watch the video, he's not even like trashing it that hard. And it's really more so that he can work in like some all right jokes, like, you know, some like not great jokes, but also not like the worst jokes anyone's ever heard. But Nick, I mean, you of all people would totally understand this. You know how YouTube works. You know how being a YouTuber works. The guy's trying to fill time, and it's actually similar.
You sound like you're defending him. I'm going to be honest. That's what it sounds like.
I'm not defending him. I'm just pointing out
what it sounds like.
I'm pointing out what the reality is of that video and the videos that you can expect him to put out is he's literally just filling YouTube airtime. He's got over 1 million subscribers. I have to think that his livelihood is YouTube. So he's just filling time. He's doing a catchy, keyword based, you know, clickbait title, which, I mean, Nick, you know all about that, right? And I just feel like it's not really something to pay attention to. It actually reminds me of mixed martial arts. Like, if you follow mixed martial arts, there's a lot of parallels between the NFT space and, like, you know, the mixed martial arts space, if you will. Once reporters realize that, you know, saying negative things about mixed martial arts gets clicks, all of a sudden, you just see every periodical writing an article about mixed martial arts that doesn't really say anything. And then the UFC keeps putting on fights every week. It's just totally irrelevant. But they realize, oh, what a surprise. MMA is polarizing and it's popular. So both sides are going to click on it.
I don't even know what we're even talking about at this point, but I appreciate that.
You brought it up, dude. I'm just I'm having a conversation with you. You brought it up. Signal, you raised your hand. Sorry, Nick is cranky, Signal. And he doesn't want to talk about the thing he brought up anymore. But go ahead, Signal.
No, one of the projects that I have, one of the mints I have my eyes on this week is the Wagme United mint. I know, because obviously this is mostly predominantly a North American audience, but football is the number one entertainment sport in Europe and in England as well. And I'm just thinking about the amount of attention that Chromie Squiggle is about to get on the sitting on the Adidas jersey. Which will happen over sort of the next 12 to 18 months. And then we know the investors in Wagme United are G Money, Gary V, and I forgot the last G, but there's another G, big G investor in there.
G-Funk?
G-Funk, thank you, G-Funk. But what I'm thinking about, if Chromie Squiggle retains its historical significance along with Art Blocks and along with the artist Snowfro, Obviously, Squiggles is already at 11 ETH, but people tend to look at all collections at that moment and start to think, where else has this artist done work? And it just came to me last night that Snowfro did the tickets for VCon, and they were Chromie Squiggles as well. Obviously, they're not going to be even close to the valuation of what the original Squiggles are, but you just have to think, when an artist's work appreciates, everything they've touched also seems to appreciate in value, obviously not as much, but it's something that I'm looking at now quite seriously, just because Chromie is now sitting on an Adidas journey, which is sitting on a football club with some very prominent, big, large American investors.
Great insight signal. Spencer, you raise your hand. Do you have something to add to this?
So here's the thing. Like, and I love Snowfro, but I think it's worth thinking about why Chromie Squiggles does so well. And Chromie Squiggles does so well because it's like the first art blocks and it's the first of generative art. Like, not necessarily because Snowfro is the greatest artistic voice of our generation and his art is so good. And I think, like, under that thesis, right, you would want to see that VCon tickets are also pumping, but they're not. And I've always felt this about VCon, which is like Gary got, who on paper I think is one of the biggest, most famous artists in the space. But like, the thing with Snowfro is that, like, is his work the most visually appealing all the time? No, because like, it's conceptually cool more so than it's visually cool. And this is not a dig. I actually really like Wagmi United, and I think that it'll do well. But I don't know that the thesis of Snowfro's art is on the jersey and therefore it's going to be really valuable, like, feels like it strikes well with me, because I don't think we see that in VCon tickets. And I think I heard a lot of people looking at the VCon like tickets and stuff and being like, these are really ugly. Maybe because they didn't realize. I know I didn't even realize it was Snowfro until I saw Snowfro talking on the stage, and I was like, oh, that's why there's so many gradients on them. But Chromie Squiggles does well, like, because it's the first and because it's historic, I think, more so than because it's like world breaking art in its visual appeal.
Absolutely. And you know, shout out to Snowfro. He invested in the Nifty's seed round, so he's one of our investors. He's a badass. And obviously, like you said, Spencer, Chromie Squiggles has historical significance, and it's more about the concept than the actual visuals. I'm on Wagmi United's website right now. So forgive me, I'm not terribly familiar. So it seems that they bought a soccer team or a football team in early 2022. It's Crawley Town, Crawley Town Football Club. And I guess the goal is to actually bring this club to the Premier League. My assumption is it's in one of the lesser leagues right now. And forgive me, I'm not a soccer aficionado, so I don't know all the deets on this. Signal, you have your hand raised.
That's the goal.
Then we'll throw it a note. Okay, cool. Signal, what's going on?
Yeah, so that's the whole idea. That it's I think they're League Two, so they're not the best football club in terms, if you compare them to the clubs in the Premiership. But the idea is that this is now essentially quote unquote decentralized, and the holders of the Wagmi tickets will have input into the club, maybe around events that they want to go to. If you have the ticket, you'll be able to go to a Crawley game pretty much whenever you want within sort of 24-hour notice. So it's just allowing the fans to participate more in the Crawley experience and actually being part of a club rather than just sort of being a passive fan as we are today. But just on your point, Spencer, I agree with you. My thesis, this is a long-term thesis. This is over the next 12 to 18 months. And the only reason I say that is, like, when you see an airline on Manchester United jersey, Manchester United, one of the number one clubs in the world, and it's Qatar, like, you see that every single day in the news, in every single photo, in every single newspaper across the UK, you just end up being like Man United, Qatar, or whoever the sponsors are. I can't think of any other ones at the moment, but you just get an association between the club and the brand that never goes away until that sponsorship deal is broken. And so my thesis is that over the next 12 to 18, maybe 24 months, Chromie's will get more attention, and therefore Snowfro's work across anything he's done will also have more attention. This isn't a flip it next week deal.
Yeah, and someone in our Discord just tagged me and said that, you know, this task of getting them to the Premier League would take multiple years. So definitely keep that in mind, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to buy this NFT, knowing the NFT market and the people that participate, the kind of mindset. Node, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Yeah, so from what I understand, is it a 0.35 mint with a 12K supply? Is that correct? That seems pretty ambitious. I'd be curious to know if that's the actual. I'm seeing this on Twitter, so I want that confirmed.
Yeah, it's a pretty high mint. Yeah, no, it's a pretty high mint. I think it is 0.35 and the supply is 4K. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that is correct.
Yeah, so I mean, it's bold, but at the same time, with Ethereum at the price that it's at, this is like way cheaper than if there was even a 0.1 mint, you know, like when ETH was in the high 3000s, or it's around the same price, right? So 12K supply, you know, quote unquote expensive mint. I think with this squad, when you look at the squad that's on the team, it's like Gary V's listed, G-Funk, Snowfro, Jacob Martin, G-Money. There's a deep squad that's listed here. I would not be surprised if everybody's network leads to being sold out. We got Renegade Master on stage with his hand raised. Was there something you wanted to add to WAGME United?
Yeah, hey guys. So yeah, like Spencer said, in US dollar terms, it's maybe not the most expensive mint, but 0.35 for 12K is, I mean, I'm not sure how good it's going to do straight off the bat, but speaking from, I was just reading through the comments, like, I'm a professional football player in real life, so this is what I've been doing.
You are?
Yeah, me personally.
Oh, shit, okay, cool.
So that's what I do outside of trading illiquid JPEGs. I'm reading the comments of WAGME United, and someone was saying, like, for some reason, I think allowing fans to make strategic decisions may not be the best move, which is, you know, I completely agree with that. And Preston Johnson, who's the co-founder of WAGME United, replied and said there'll be realistic options to choose from that will benefit the club. For example, if come January transfer window, we say £100,000 to bring in new players, the fans or local season ticket holders could vote on how the money is spent. 33% offense, 33% midfield and deep defense. Like, that just sounds a bit like ridiculous from, and I don't think that will work in a professional environment. And I think, like, it's a really cool concept, but bringing a team from, I have friends who play all the way from League Two to the Premier League. And I think, like, the amount of money it takes to bring a team from League Two to get to the Premier League is, like, that's going to be like a project that goes over a decade. And so I think, like, it's a good vision, but I think with the patience in the NFT market, like, you know, that's going to be a really long, long term thing. And it's definitely a really challenging thing to get from League Two all the way to the Prem.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, you're talking about professional sports. It's like about as competitive as an industry can get. And if it was easy to just bring a team from a subpar league to, like, basically, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, the Premier League is like one of the top leagues in the world, like top
probably
three?
Probably the best in terms of, like, you know, all around competition. It probably is the best in the world. Even with money. But I just think, like, you know, from a professional football standpoint, let's say you bring in like a new manager, if he's already handcuffed by NFT, like, they won't even know what NFTs are. And if all of a sudden token holders start making decisions where like club finances are spent, like, that's just never going to work out in a, like, I mean, that's so far left of field of how it actually works inside a, like, a professional, like, football club. And so, like, that's quite interesting, and I'd be curious to see how that rolls out in terms of if you're giving token holders the, you know, the option to vote on where the club spends its money on transfers. Like, that would be like bringing headlines for sure.
Yeah, I'd imagine. Also, oh, go ahead, Nick.
I'm curious, like, for the people who invested in this, basically, who already put money into, because there was a DAO that had already acquired the team. So the team's been acquired at this point, right? And so, like, what are they getting? Is this like a liquidity event for them for selling these additional NFTs? Or, like, how do they end up? It sounds like I was talking with someone else whose name is not listed here, but said they did invest in this. So I'm a little confused. Maybe they didn't include everyone, or they're just not on the team and they're just a holder, but they'd put in like a substantial amount. I think it was a couple $100,000 alongside everybody else. And it sounds like then what that was converted was to DAO tokens. And then in order to sell those, essentially it's like a partnership, but I don't understand like what this NFT, like what it does to further
what that, it represents, right?
From what I can tell, like, I mean, apart from getting your, you know, like, I think I haven't looked into it with too much detail, so I don't want to speak too much on it, but like you get the Chromey Squiggles playing shirt and stuff like that. But I think this is pretty much money that's going to go towards the club to, like, you know, help the club. So I'm not sure exactly how it's going to benefit the token holders, but I think I read somewhere on Twitter that, like, essentially the numbers were there on this thread. I can't remember, but I think, like, if this sells out, they raise like $5 million or something, and it like covers a portion of their investment, etc.
What do you think?
I mean, I looked at it, and it would raise like $4.5 million, and if I'm right, I think they bought the team for just under $5 million, so they might just make it all back here. Congrats.
That's what it was. Sorry, yeah. So I think like pretty much this mint free rolls a football club for them.
But so does that mean that those DAO holders get paid back? Like, so essentially those were investors in this DAO, and then now they get to take their money out, and now, but they're still technically, I don't know how that capital is being used. Like, there's some confusion to me. Like, it would be one thing where you were like, hey, we bought a team together, but like that mission was accomplished. So now at this point, I don't know, it'd be useful to get someone from that DAO on, because I don't want to speak out of line about this because I don't know what's actually being done with it. But it is interesting. And I am like, my expectation would be they would get paid out. And then now that capital, now they still own the team, or will this go towards operating costs? Also, how does that operating expenditure get managed? Like, after you, because there's costs of running a team, what if that team loses money? Like, where does the funding come from that? There's a lot of like logistical things that are confusing for me when it comes to these sorts of things. But maybe that's what these NFTs are going for, is like overhead on a soccer team or football team, sorry. But I don't know. So it's interesting. There's also a lot of logistical things which are very confusing for me, and that's where I'll be interested to see how a DAO functionally operates a legitimate business. I mean, it's ambitious, it's cool, so the vision is sweet. But yeah, there's logistical things that don't make sense to me, and it's also not clear. Like, it says we'll be able to vote, but like, what's that voting distribution? Like, is that similar? I remember the I guess Planet DAO or the Pixel Vault DAO, the voting, like Pixel Vault had a bunch of the votes. Like, I don't know. There's a lot of unknown, unanswered questions with this, which I'd be interested to get someone from here to actually answer.
Well, I just logged into Premint because I did qualify for the Premint. So I'm looking through. Okay, so you get the Adidas shirt, you get a limited edition scarf, a limited edition hat. You get access to IRL events. You get free tickets to CTFC home matches, exclusive live streams, access to global IRL events. So it looks like there are, you know, there's a lot of, utility, as we like to say, associated with it. But it is, yeah, I'd love to know kind of the distribution and, what percentage goes back to them versus is just getting totally invested into the team.
Well, maybe I get some Adidas sweatpants and that's worth the investment.
That's something like that. Limited edition. Sam Pott, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Hey, P.O.
What the hell?
Look, man, it literally sounds like you're training to get shot into space on a rocket. Like, it literally sounds like zero gravity training right now.
I don't know. It just sounds like he's on the highway with his window open, and rather than speaking into the phone, he put the phone out the window. and just drove with it down the highway. It was like, I'm gonna get these guys.
That's exactly what I did, Nick. That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm doing 90 down the M4 right now on the way to Crawley to try and get some free kits. Now, if you can, Jimmy, I just want to chime in and just make everyone aware that I'm an internet of this holder, and right now, Adidas has been nothing but a letdown when it comes to getting stuff out on time, communicating on time, getting merch out. So I just want to make everyone aware that obviously anyone investing in this is now going to be reliant on Adidas actually coming through and hitting lead times and communicating with their customers. And I'm just going to put some feedback in there that so far Into the Metaverse has been a complete letdown on that side.
No, do you have a link? Where's the pre-mint for this project? But that comment is a valid one. I claimed whatever the Adidas merch was. I went through whatever that process was. That was like, I don't know how long ago that that was. That like a month ago or 2 months ago?
It was like 2 to 3 months ago. And then like about a month ago, so about 8 weeks after we were able to claim that our neon tracksuit, they sent an email saying your order has been processed, and then they're like, you might get it by the end of the year, which is hilarious coming from a clothing brand that is like supposed to be very proficient in in e-com.
Well, I was just thinking, speaking of clothing brands and delivering things in the NFT space, I'm not FUDing because I know that the crowd of this project can get a little bit sensitive, and I'm going to hold.
Sounds like you're FUDing. Get ready to FUD. FUD alert.
I'm a holder, but what the hell is Gucci doing? Right? Like they put out the Gucci Grail NFT through 10KTF. We have it. They're like, this is going to be the key into Gucci's entry into NFTs. Go ahead, Nick.
So I showed my NFTs to a neighbor of mine was asking about NFTs the other night. And there are a couple, I was hanging out with them. And the girl was like, hey, well, can I see some of what NFTs you have? And she was showing me once she had considered buying NFTs. She ended up not buying it, but she still had OpenSea on her phone and showed me the ones that she was looking at. They weren't great. I don't remember the exact ones. They were like a duplicate of a – like it was a – it was just a derivative of a derivative, which was not great. But I showed her the NFT portfolio, and she was like, wait, hold up. You got a Gucci ape? And I think like – that to her stood out. So maybe the utility there is just having one and being like, yo, I got a Gucci NFT. I have no idea.
Well, look, if it is just what you're basically talking about is like pure play collectible with potential historical significance, which is fine. But that's, correct me if I'm wrong, that's not the way it was presented, right? It was presented as like, this is the key to Gucci being in the NFT space. And I think people expected some sort of like, I mean, dare I say it, like an airdrop or something like that. But these things come out, it was a one ETH mint with ETH at $3,000. You know what I mean? And they just like sold a shitload of them, made a bunch of money. It's holding. The floor is holding in ETH terms. I'm not selling it. I'm holding it. I can't wait to see what happens. But I just think it's interesting how slow these brands are in the NFT space. They're quick to get into the NFT space and have a big primary sale. But then after that, I'm not seeing a massive sense of urgency. Signal, you raise your hand. I know you know about Gucci. Go ahead.
You know, they have driven utility. Well, I don't want to say utility, but they have driven value to it in that if you had the Gucci ape, it was considered sort of a full armored avatar for the battle town within 10KTF. So whatever reward holders will get for sending their avatars into battle, the Gucci ones will be considered sort of premium within that ecosystem. And then they did this thing, which, I mean, I think this is lame, but you basically got to queue up first to buy more Gucci merch. So you basically were first in the queue to spend more money on Gucci merch. However, what I can say about Gucci, and I have heard them speak at conferences here in Europe, and that team is extremely dedicated to this space. I think for brands, we have such a fast expectation of what we're going to get in this space. So World of Women dropped something and we just want to know straight away what it is. Brands just can't move at that speed. And when you hear brands like Adidas talk about what their roadmap is, I mean, it's long. Stuff is coming out in September, October, November. So I think on the brand perspective, we just need to slow down and know that if we're in a brand, this means that there has been sign off at the CEO level, that they are committed to this, but hold your horses, because contracts needed to be signed, terms and conditions need to be done, and everything's going to be done slower. But I do believe they are here to stay.
Yeah, fair. I mean, it sounds like 10KTF is kind of driving that. Go ahead, Nick.
I'm wondering, before we move on past WAGMI United, so are we, like, are people minting this? Like, how are people thinking about approaching this? And I guess you got to wait for, if you're not on the allow list or through pre-mint, is there even a chance of minting?
I think it'll probably sell out right away because the allow listed projects are Hunter Orel's 555 project. So there's 555 spots. No, do you know all the remaining NFT? Does G Money's Admit One get you?
They had a limited amount that they tweeted about, which was like 500. But that means that not everyone gets it. But it's not just based on holding it. I think you need to go through this pre-mint process.
It'll probably sell out in a allow list or come damn close to it, then I have to think, right? I mean, Gary Vee's name is attached to it. I don't know if anyone else has any thoughts on this. I know I saw Spencer raise his hand, got Renegade Master on stage, Micah G. Anybody, want to chime in on WAGMI? Yeah.
I would just say, like, I think what's interesting about it is, you know, $5 million, like, we're talking about, what do we do, like, $14 million yesterday in total secondary sales. And so I think there is appetite. Like, I see a lot of people, like, itching to mint things because, you know, maybe we're addicts or something. We just like minting things.
maybe.
but they're requesting a third of all volume that happened yesterday in a single mint. And I think that is not unachievable for that group, but it's a tough ask, especially since like the last mint that was Gary Vee affiliated, if that's your thesis, that like didn't go super hot, which was the Vayner Sports Pass. Right. And so like, this is sort of the same thing that Gary has with his media company, is like Gary's media company, the best media they put out is the Gary-centric media. Like, I think if your thesis is Gary, I find it hard to see why you'd want to mint these versus buying a VFriends 2, is my feeling.
Also, on the sobering note of like, let's just talk about what they're trying to offer, it's a perfect example of roadmaps not being realistic. Because like $4 million or $4.5 million for mint might seem like a lot that they're extracting from the community. But if you talk about teams in League One, as in the league above them, but two leagues below the Premier League, their wage bills for a year are about $8 million. If you're in the Premier League, the wage bill for a year is $55 million for players. You can't afford one goalie for the entire cost of what would be minting out the project. So it's a good example of Web3 and just throwing that roadmap there. But like, if you're minting this out and you're asking people for their money, giving a realistic picture, like we'll try to get promoted to two leagues below the Premier League. Of course, from a marketing standpoint, that's not the thing you want to say. But just if we're realistic about what you can expect buying this NFT, if you're a football fan, just understand that, like, I don't know, I have a problem with them saying, we're going to go to the Premier League, we're all going to make it, this is awesome, because like you're competing with Saudi money. So like, if this is a cool idea and you want to throw some money at it, you know, just to like watch the progress, that's awesome. But I don't like the idea of them potentially taking people that don't understand what professional football takes and the investment of that, and basically being like, hey, buy us a team, we'll totally get you to the Premier League.
So, yeah, Micah G, it sounds like this is going to be a real, I don't know if you've seen the Will Ferrell movie, The Tropics. It sounds like a real Tropics team. It's going to be a ragtag team on a $4 million budget. I play a pretty damn good MIDI, so hit me up.
I love the concept. Like, I'm going to be honest, I will probably mint one if it gets to it, like just as a concept. I just don't like the idea of potentially very moneyed individuals in the space trying to sell this thing as like, we'll get to the Premier League. And it's like, no, you might be able to do well in Division 2, and that would be cool if you did. But I just don't like when you market something with an unrealistic roadmap.
I actually like Captain Kicks's approach here, that we get to play in the game. That would be fucking dope. And if I had the opportunity to play for like 5 minutes in one match before I just pass out or get like tackled, that to me seems well worth the investment. And then
that's utility, Nick.
That's legit. I think you it's can also
go, you can go tear your meniscus against some professional players.
So what happened? I bought this NFT and I got slide tackled by some random player. He was quite aggressive, but
by a guy that's in the third best league in the UK, but he's still 6'2" and an absolutely nasty football player. Go ahead, Nick.
My other issue. Some people would want to get in the ring and fight an MMA player, but you're still gonna get the shit beat out of you. But but for someone that's, you know, a fantasy, right? So anyways, my main point here is I think there's some creative approaches here. They're not executing on the vision. My bigger issue, if there is any issue at all, it's well put together, is the fact that, that they're selling NFTs from a bunch of people that have already sold NFTs that have a pre-existing roadmap that need to execute on those existing projects and have debatable quality or haven't fully realized the vision of their roadmap. Like, why continue to make more promises to people? And
because it's more fun to launch an NFT project with an idea than to actually execute on it. You know what I mean? When you got to execute it, it's actual work. You know what I mean? Watching NFT, yeah. It's like, yeah, throw that on the roadmap. We're going to the fucking Premier League, bro. Let's go, dude. We're going to win the fucking championship. Put that on.
We're going to the World NFT. Cup. We're going to create a country and then go to the World Cup with that country. That's how far we're going on our roadmap. And then we're going to build a space program and go to the moon. And when that happens, you're going to be able to get on that flight, the first flight to the moon, if you keep holding your NFT till then.
And then we think about minute at 0.08, and we're going to Premier League, 0.12. Let's go.
And then that first season doesn't go super well, and they're like, okay guys, we're buying a basketball team in the football.
Micah G, like, what the hell? Not even it doesn't go well, they can't get a win on the board. They can't even get a point on the board.
So one sec, the one thing I do want to throw out there, and we're just having fun, ladies and gentlemen. Don't take this too seriously. They're probably gonna sell out either way and make $5 million. So this isn't like fucking Paramount seriousness.
Apology to them?
No, it's not an apology. What I was gonna say is the one thing that nobody's really brought up is, I mean, it is an existing team, right? They bought an existing team. So it's not like they are starting a team from scratch. So I have to think there's already a, you know, quote unquote fan base. I mean, look, the bottom line is there are, like, in the United States, an equivalent, like, correct me if I'm wrong, to the football guys, like Renegade
DC
Master.
United, baby.
No, because that's the main league here. It's not a good league, but that's in the main league. I'm talking smack. No, like in baseball, right? This would be like what, a double A team, or at most a triple A team.
This is an A team. There are three leagues above it. It's
okay.
League
so this
two,
is single A.
One. Yeah, League Two, League One, Championship, and then the Premier League.
We got to win a lot of championships just to get to the Premier League.
The players are also in elementary school, so you got to keep that in mind as well. So we're actually investing in their future, and so we're going to actually play with them until.
What's the name of this project again? My friend's asking.
Wag Me United.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. We've been talking about it for like legit 30 minutes. This is like the longest that we've discussed.
I was trying to see if people wanted to mint it, but we that went off on
it. It's a pixel ball project.
Keep in mind, we're going to space.
Oh, isn't this a pixel ball project?
No.
Are these soccer players? Are they going to play in the fucking planets we all bought? Or
okay.
All right. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is not the WAGME United show. This is the NFT morning show where we discuss all the stories of the NFT space, including single A soccer teams making it to the Premier League. Look, it was already a team. They're already selling tickets. They already have like games on the schedule. There's already players signed to the team, their staff members. So we'll see what happens. It sounds fun. This is how you frame it. This is an example of the power of a DAO in Web3 when applied to the real world. So we're going to see what happens.
There we go.
You unmuted. Go
Let's
ahead.
Positive spin for that.
Honestly, I was thinking the only thing that would make this cooler We need to form a different DAO, buy a competing team in the same division, and just talk a ton of trash.
I mean, so first of all, that would be pretty fucking funny if we did that. Would it not be?
That would be hilarious.
How much do you need to raise? Like 3-4? We don't even need the best team. We can get the worst and the 5 million. We can get like
you're cutting out, but there was a situation apparently. So like the process of buying this team was not like a smooth one because like the managers of this team were like, who the hell are these NFT people and what are these like NFT things? And they're like wildly skeptical that there's going to be management. You're still playing music there. Is this still the interlude?
Well,
it's
still the interlude, and I'll go to the room reset. But now, like, we could, on the back of what you just said, they've done the groundwork of breaking into this league and doing the extremely challenging thing.
The second acquisition is way easier.
Yeah, guys, exactly. Guys, there's a team in their league called Port Vale. We just take the V out and it becomes Port Vale.
Let's go.
Port Vale, and then boom.
I mean, I like it. I like it.
Yeah, forget just a team. Let's just do our whole new.
Honestly,
team.
The best decision here would also be to just slap an FTX logo on the jersey, and then you know it's just perfect.
That's real fun.
So, all right, we're getting FTX involved. Well, all of a sudden, we're going to be like throwing our weight around.
Holy
here.
Shit! Hey, if you're interested in sponsoring this show and buying a soccer team, if you're in the U.S., football team, if you're in the rest of the world. Shoot us a DM. We're interested in buying a football team to go head to head against Wag Me United.
Wait, and their name is Wag Me? So we
no,
either
it's Crawley.
Have
Crawley Town.
Not gonna make it or GM.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
We're the not gonna make it team, and we're like the bad boys of the league. You know, like what's the movie? The Replacements, you know, where those guys. Yeah, that's us. You know, we're
like,
the bad
boys. Like, formal lacrosse player on our team that just gets red carded like every other game, but it's just
you need the Bash Bros from Mighty Ducks.
Yes,
quick, I like it.
Well, gents, that they've given out 12,000 NFTs and everyone gets a ticket, but Crawley Stadium capacity only 6,000. So I'm intrigued how they're going to work that one out.
Sam Pott, it sounds like you're talking to me through a seashell. You are absolutely hilarious with that microphone. Anyway, back to the room reset real quick. We do this show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern time, every damn day. And we're sponsored by FTX. So sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code thenifty on your FTX mobile app. We're going to move on from the soccer team. We are buying our own soccer team. Not going to make it.
United.
Not going to make it United. Not.
I just
not
bought the domain,
it.
Baby.
Nick, oh, look, if you give Nick a spark of an idea, he's buying the fucking domain. You're not sitting on that thing. Like, Nick's been around the block. You're not about to squat on his domains.
if you're pivoting now, but there is kind of a precedent for this. Leipzig RB in the German Bundesliga started out from Red Bull. And they bought a team at very low, poured a ton of money on it in like the single A, and then made it all the way up. So, I mean, obviously, you're not going to – this would just be your entry. This is more just like a fundraise, which is what I think basically NFT should be. It's like your initial raise instead of doing venture capital. You start with this, and then someone else takes it over. Yeah, if you think
they,
you're voting
they would have put in hundreds of millions to Red Bull, though, no, Jesse?
What I mean. Like, this would just be the entry. This is just like the venture capital, and then someone else has to take it over. The DAO can't vote on anything. That's just kind of a gimmick. But I know you're trying to pivot. So for the last half hour, are we doing ENS, GameFi, or other deeds?
No, not ENS for definitely not there, ENS.
There was also a mint yesterday, which I thought was interesting. Although it's not, the floor has not rallied, but it did pop up on my radar.
Cope
was,
Bears.
No, I was looking at Goodminds NFT. Did you see this one?
I saw it on the top 25. Real quick, last thing is nobody has bought a soccer team purely for the sake of memeing the shit out of it.
Of
it
ruining
big,
the
joke.
Business?
Yeah, no one's done that. So I feel like we could be innovators on that front. This Goodminds thing is ripping off Vinny Hager, right?
This Goodminds ripping off?
I mean,
oh,
this
there's
is
a
Vinny...
squiggle thing at the top you're talking about?
Well, the banner of Good Mind, like, this just feels like Vinny Hager to me. I don't know. I'm not trying to, like...
I mean, because you drew a line. I mean, I don't feel like Vinny owns that. But, yeah, I do see the similarities in that art style at the top. But look at the NFTs themselves. I don't think those look like Vinny Hager.
Yeah, you're right. The NFTs themselves are different. It's literal bread, literal toast and bread with Vinny Hager's. No, I'm just kidding. With an interesting art style. Yeah, I don't know anything about it. The art's pretty cool, though. Spencer,
yeah, I don't.
You just raised your hand.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, like, I think the thing that looks similar is that they're both Keith Haring inspired, like Vinny Hager and whoever did this. Like, I don't know that it's a Vinny thing, but I think it's funny that we in NFTs think Vinny Hager before we think Keith Haring when we see lines like that. That entertains me.
Yeah, but I mean, saying that Vinny Hager, like, maybe Vinny's inspired by Keith Haring, but Keith Haring's style is very distinct compared to Vinny Hager, whereas this is like, in my opinion, that banner is literally like Vinny Hager's style. Like, I understand what you're saying, Spencer, where there's yes, Vinny Hager's inspired by Keith Haring, but he iterated on the style. You know what I mean? Like, whereas.
Yeah. I guess my point was just the banner to me looks way more like a Keith Haring than a Vinny Hager, but that just might be me.
Yeah, no, you can make the case. Art is subjective. D-Gent, you're on stage. You got your Gucci ape. What is going on?
Hey, DMGM guys. I just wanted to come on, and you guys were talking earlier about the Gucci Grails, and Signal did a great job going through that. But going back before the Gucci Grails, you know, they did a collab with the Super Plastics with the Super Gucci, and that's kind of was their first collab in the space. I'm probably the only one in this space that owns one of them because there's only 500 of them. I don't know if I was either smart enough or dumb enough to buy one of them, but I think that, you know, if you're in this space and you're looking at, you know, making an investment, you know, if you look at these big brands, you've got a company that's does over $10 billion a year in sales, and the brand is there. I mean, some of these projects are trying to establish brands, and why not buy one that's already established?
I mean, I would say it's even more, you should give even more runway, more time for like newer brands. I mean, we do this thing where we're like, we want you to be full time, we want utility, and we want you to actually, you know, become whatever it is, make a game or build a fashion line, right? And then we're like, why don't we hear stuff every day? Like, you shouldn't hear anything. Like, you should get like maybe a monthly report in the announcements, especially if you have 100, you know, if you're really invested in NFTs and a lot, you only have so much bandwidth to follow anyway. So people are like, why haven't I heard anything from this team in months? Well, if they're a legitimate team, you want them to not be in Discord saying GM every morning. You want them to be talking to their supply chain management or whatever it is. I mean, you saw a couple things pumped recently. Chains NFT, which was an old Jonah Blake recommendation, which was, you know, this a legit jeweler that got into the space, got into NFTs. It didn't do anything. And then he made some big announcement, probably because he was actually working. And then the NFT went up, even Crash Test Joyriders, which has been a constant kind of topic of conversation / punchline in here. You know, they disappeared for a while, then they made an announcement. I think PO and I both sold into that pump. But regardless, I mean, if you're doing anything other than just like white labeling a sweatshirt, like, it's going to take you months and months and months to actually, you know, build out your brand, you know, learn the business, or, you know, if you don't have to learn the business, hire people. So we need to figure out some way to balance this. We want people to be full-time, 100% engaging their community, because we're always talking about, you know, it's all about the community. But if you actually want something with utility, you know, most of your day probably shouldn't be spent on Discord and Twitter. So it's a challenge right now, I think, for these utility NFTs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at the same time, I do think that there's an expectation that over months, some sort of something does come out, like some sort of news, right? But I understand what you're saying. I think that you're right, that you want people to be building. But at the same time, I also want them to hire somebody that's like actually communicating, you know, to their holders, to their audience about what's going on. So ladies and gentlemen, Nick got rugged by Twitter. So I'm going to try to patch him in via Google Meet. But in the meantime, we got Skull Guru on stage. It says that you are an alpha caller. You are an educator. You are the G Money and Friends collab lead, and on the video team, and on the call, you're a caller for them. So you have many, many jobs. Skull Guru, what is going on?
Hey, sorry. I was chasing after my 3-year-old.
But no worries, man. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you guys?
We're good. You're on the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, so I just wanted to talk about or bring up the thought on so how Nick is his, you know, TA's been pretty spot on here lately. And if he thinks kind of where I heard yesterday from a couple, I forget what the thing is, but they were saying, so 490 is where I kind of see it going for the bottom, but someone said 218. I wanted to know what
this for ETH.
Oh, yes.
Jesus, man.
I can't believe, I absolutely argued with the guy forever. And he was like, no, it's a group he's a part of, you know, like he pays for it and it's a bunch of these stock, like hedge fund guys. And I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna, we'll just agree to a disagree. But I kind of want to get Nick's and your guys' thoughts on that.
Well, I'm trying to patch Nick in right now. Nick, if you didn't hear, the question is, could you see a, Nick, are you speaking?
Yes, I am.
Ladies and gentlemen, can we go ahead, Nick?
Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay, there we go. I heard everything. Hey, this is P.O. I just want to say, Nick, man, really, really sorry for CoffeeZilla really is a jerk. I just wanted to say that. Oh, were we talking about the pricing of ETH, the target of 230? Is that what he just said?
Well, he said 490, I believe, but he said somebody's trying to shill him the idea of $230 Ethereum.
I mean, great. Send it to a dollar. I don't if that's where it's headed. I don't see that downside, but it's hard to I don't trade based on those sorts of targets of the bottom. I think my next level was 734. Is my next level, and then under that is I don't even want to look at.
I can see 420. I think 420 would probably be next.
Okay, well then there you go. 420.69 is the price there. I'm not. It's not clear to me that it would go that low, but I don't call bottoms. So it's congrats on that alpha. But are you going to wait? Are you just going to wait to participate? I'm actually about to go very heavily long on Ethereum right now.
Really?
No. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
No, go ahead, Skull Guru. Go ahead.
I just thought if he asked, sorry, I'm trying to listen in. Where's the amount of breaths I'm running after a 3-year-old? I heard him ask if I was waiting to participate, which no. So, you know, I have my investment portfolios and then my trading portfolios, and I keep them separate. But so my investment portfolios, I'm always DCAing in, right? My trading portfolios, just longing and shorting on the shorter time frames, 15-minute, 30-minute. But I'm actively trading most days. So,
geez, this 3-year-old is going to be the next Usain Bolt, apparently, from the fact that you guys have a weapon. So, alpha tip for you as a parent, man. You lock that kid in a closet with 4 Oreos and an iPad before you get on the show next time. That's how you do it.
Yeah,
you alpha call. Throw you call alpha, melons. Right? You call alpha. This is Nifty Morning Alpha. We need to make money. Give us something.
Hit him with the cocoa melon, and then you should be fine.
Okay, as much as I like, Jesse's childcare jokes, Nick, I want to hear, you're buying a bunch of ETH right now. How much? You gambling?
I'm waiting for it to break out. I actually
don't buy here this time.
I was gambling. Look, I'm not listening, taking tips from Easy ever again. Legit. I'm not listening.
Don't buy here.
I'm waiting for a breakout and then I'll go heavy unless it goes below. I have a wedge pattern. I may end up losing on this, but I'm going to do it again. I'm liking trading. Yeah, there's a wedge. If we break above, my next target here is add 70 to here. I would say 1210 would be my next leg up if we sustain over the levels that I'm looking at. I haven't yet made the trade, so I'm waiting to see where this current hourly candle resolves at. But there may be – I may place a bet. Easy, what's your position?
I'm not in one right now. I'm seeing the same thing. It's just coiling here. So, it's tough to really pick a direction. I'm not taking anything unless it goes over, 1170 to go long and under 25 for short.
I won't wait till that. I'll buy it, 1150. But anyways,
Yeah, right now we're in an interesting time. Everyone seems to have, and I think I mentioned this yesterday, there's just this like general consensus, and I've never seen a market operate off of broad consensus. Like it does, well, I mean, I guess that technically is how the market works, but more of people that are actually trading. And the overall thing that I've heard people say is basically around, and I had said this previously on the show with 1450 as a target, and that was just based on that stupid butterfly pattern that Pull2Poly was pushing before. He tweeted something the other day saying risk assets going to pump over the next couple of weeks. There's some key dates, though, that are coming up, including, I think, next week or the 16th. I don't remember the date, is an update on inflation. And then we also have non-farm payrolls this week. So basically, the market's just waiting, I think, to see some of that data. And in general, the summertime is just a weird time to be trading. But there's been some action, and crypto is nice just based on the size of the moves. You can get 10% swings within like a day, which is not bad. And so that's why I'm enjoying trading those. Simultaneously, I am looking for like, if we're saying, hey, one of these NFTs are going to pump, I am interested in participating in some of those. The ones that have been materializing so far have been free mints, though, and I haven't interacted with those. And there's been multiple scams in the free mint space where they've been draining wallets. So it's a risky thing to be participating in anyway. So you got to be incredibly careful. And actually, I guess the way that people have been handling that is setting up just a separate wallet address with none of their assets in it and just putting the exact amount for them to mint and then transferring those out. But yeah, I think on the technicals, I don't call bottom. Like I can't do it. I have no ability to do it. It seems like a fool's errand to call top and to call bottom. And anyone who retroactively does that and says, oh, I perfectly timed it, just got lucky. Like, it's just impossible to do that. I'm just trading the levels as I see them. And that's it. That's all I'll do.
I think that's fair, Nick. And ladies and gentlemen, that was not me talking, even though it's popping out of my PFP. That was Nick, who is rugged.
This is PO speaking. And I just want to say shout out to everybody. We really miss Nick because he got rugged. And we do all agree he's one of the best hosts, if not the best here. So sorry for not being here, Nick. I look up to you.
There you go. I said that about Nick. There you have it. One of the key dates Nick was just referencing is the FOMC meeting, which will be July 26th to 27th. Then there's another one of those in September before Q4. So I think those are two key dates that everybody's looking at. And I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, look, correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I'm listening to from people that are a lot smarter than me, it sounds like the expected bottom would be either already behind us or somewhere between now and Q4, given people are saying that it would be unsustainable to keep rates where they're at, given the macro conditions, the war that Russia is, you know, apparently moving forward with, and everything else that's going on in the world right now. So by Q4, there's an expectation of adjustments. We got D Gent on stage with his hand raised. He talks to Kathy Wood every week. He's probably a good person to chime in on this. What's going on?
One thing.
Yeah.
I was going to say, right now, I'm just waiting for this wick to materialize before I actually take a position, because now it's flagging to go short. So I'm still waiting.
All righty, well, look at that.
Well, going on a little longer time frame, as you guys are talking about what's happened with ETH in the last couple of months, when it went almost, was that almost at 5,000? Now we're down at, you know, sub 1,200. And I'm just sitting here and it reminds me so much. If anybody recalls, if anybody was in the market in 2009, if you look at the NASDAQ, it's almost very eerie similar to what happened with NASDAQ, because 2008, NASDAQ hit a high of, like, I think 5,500. It went all the way down to 1,200 after the financial crisis. And I remember in March of 2009, when the NASDAQ was down at 1,200, and they were calling for it. Everybody, consensus was saying it was going to go down to 600. And I actually, it was scary, probably one of the scariest investments I made, but I actually just started buying in March of 2009. I bought the NASDAQ and Apple and Google, all that stuff. And, you know, if it, because I knew someday it was going to go back up to its all-time high. So I think you know, not financial advice, but it looks like it could be very similar. It could take, you know, a couple, could take 5 or more years to happen, but it's always, you know, I always like to buy when I'm the most scared, and there's no good news out there, and nobody's talking about crypto going higher right now. Everybody's talking about it going lower. So contrarian view might be a good time to step in.
Yeah, I gradually accumulate always, but I've been heavily accumulating really over the past few weeks in Bitcoin and a little bit of Ethereum. I also want to point out, somebody just quoted me on Twitter what I just said. Somebody said, I said, maybe Q4, everything is fixed. I did not say that. I do not think that Q4 is going to be magical back to $5,000 Ethereum. That you got to love Twitter. You got to love the internet. Somebody quotes you saying that Q4, everything is fixed. I did not say that.
That's what Pia
said. Real quick, guys, I'll just last Friday's call with Kathy Wood and the team pretty much got the shit scared out of me. They were talking about AI, and I don't know if anybody's familiar with the Twitter's DALL-E 2, the AI that can design, if you just, you can actually tell it what you want to design, and it will design NFTs. At a cost of a penny a piece. So it's just, how disruptive is that going to be in the space for graphic artists?
It's so big.
It'll be huge, man. This is bleeding edge technology. This shit's going to keep evolving. So look, we didn't talk about it at all today, but World of Women put out an airdrop, and I definitely think that it's worth discussing. And they're doing it in, you know, a cool, like, kind of mystery type way. Apparently the World of Women collection has already received the airdrop. The World of Women Galaxy collection at the start of this show had not received it yet. It looks like that is still the case. And there was a tweet from the World of Women account that said, oh, like, you know, where's the World of Women Galaxy airdrop? Like, you know, is that, like, what's the story there? You know, so it's kind of part of the lore. What do we think? Do we think that this is something that's going to create a, you know, going to create volume for World of Women? Do you think that this is, you know, not good for the collection because it's diluting it further? Anybody have any opinions on World of Women with another airdrop here? Third collection, if you will. Renegade, go ahead.
I think short term, I struggle to see significant upside. Like, personally, for me, I've pretty much sold majority of my NFTs that are kind of purely valued based on speculation. And I've shifted my existing chips towards stuff like fine art and, you know, my punk, for example. But I think, like, a long-term bull case for World of Women, and this is long-term, is that they are the first female PFP project, and that doesn't really matter right now, but in 10 years, like, when there's a lot more females in the space, I think that fact will play a bit more, like, of a factor. And, you know, the fact that World of Women was the first female PFP project could be a bull case long, long term, but I don't think that doesn't really matter right now. And so I think, like, I don't think we're going to see World of Women do a 2x in the next month. But I do think long term, you know, like how people are looking at punks as the first, you know, PFP project to have that kind of historical significance, I do think World of Women could have that in the future. I'm not sure what everyone else thinks.
Anybody else? World of Women.
The thing I find with World of Women at the moment is that after they did the WoW Galaxy collection, it just sort of lost some of its shine. And when they released their roadmap, which was sort of the constellation, and they had all these things coming up, it took to holders, it was sort of very confusing where we are going, what's going to happen next. I know they're like we know they're building. We know they were at NFT NYC. Yam was at VCon. You know, when you hear her speak, that her and her team, she hired an ex-Google, Facebook COO. So, you know, they're putting all the people in place to build this as a business and to turn it into authentic IP. My question is, as a collector, do I see value accruing there over the long term? At the moment, I don't. But that doesn't mean that can't change in the future. I'm taking the same track as Renegade and selling most of the NFTs I have low conviction in and looking to rotate those funds into sort of more blue chip leader NFTs in the space.
And you're not putting blue chip leader in, or you're not putting World of Women in that blue chip leader category?
Not at the moment, but that can change. I would say like right now, summer 2022, they don't hold that position. I think they've sort of had that cool cats path, you know, where they've sort of fallen from grace. Doesn't mean they can't come back, but just like as when I look at it as an opportunity cost, where can I allocate my funds to get more upside, either in USD or ETH terms? World of Women isn't that right now. So that's how I'm looking at it. I don't know if Bell has a view on this as well.
Bell?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a catch 22 because historically World of Women is going to go down as, you know, a historical NFT and one of the leading women-led NFT projects. But they did absolutely dilute the value of the project by launching World of Women Galaxy, and this may be diluting it even further. It's the epic catch 22 in the space, and we want more, and we want more value, and we want more utility, and we want more yesterday. And how else are they going to be producing more value if not with airdrops? World of Women though did have a lot of issues, problems when they dropped World of Women Galaxy within their community, and that led to big time FUD within the community and a lot of people leaving. And what it was World of Women Galaxy holders were joining the Discord and were saying that they were feeling excluded, that they were getting shunned almost from not being original holders. And I don't really think that they recovered. All that being said, I have strong conviction in that super long term, they are able to, you know, maintain their status as one of the leaders in the NFT space. They're expanding their team. And Yam truly understands what it takes to be successful in the space. I think she has run out of capacity for herself to be able to do it. And so she's doing the right thing by expanding her group with NFT native people.
The slow burn, Jesse.
I mean, yeah, this is like with everything with these. So I basically was, once we hit the utility phase, I got rid of all my pure PFPs that were just like, it's a PFP and we're going to do something with media. And I think Cool Cats fell into this. Once you fall from grace, it's a little harder. But for me, it's more about like, what is your brand and what are your mission? Like, I know what BFT bracelets, I know what they're going to do. They already have, like, locked and loaded, like, 20, like, superpower women that are going to try to onboard people and build and have conferences and stuff. So if I'm World of Women, I want to know, I don't want to know that with PFP. I want to know, like, what is your next thing? Like, they could literally probably host, like, a World of Women conference, their own conference, like VFriends. It doesn't have to be gender specific, but that's obviously going to be part of their brand. And then do like a conference about Web3 and blah, 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 and something. And who knows, maybe they have some other marketing agency they deliver, and it's the World of Web. Like, there's so many things they could do. If they had Madonna, right, they could have almost anybody. Like I said, if you can get Lizzo or someone else at your conference, like, you're going to make big waves. And then I think that's what all these projects need to do. Cool Cats tried the game. It didn't work. But I'm actually coming around to Cool Cats as a bear market buy, because they have a lot of, you know, real investors apparently for whatever they can do next. I think they have some potential. But yeah, for me, it's like the last thing I want to see is more PFP, is more NFTs. I want to see like what you can do. And you would think that they'd have the firepower to do that. I mean, to tease something that's a little more, you know, again, we don't want to use the same word utility, but that's like, okay, here's the next extension of our brand. So yeah, I'd much rather see a World of Women like conference that lays out some stuff, you know, 3D conference, than I would see more PFPs.
Micah G, you made a lot of money off World of Women. Anything to add here?
Well, I was just struck. It's a little sad that, you know, because when we look back at people like Klon, we look back at people like Yam, it's people that started the project relatively cheaply, and they're artists, you know, like Klon just liked drawing those cool cats. And it's kind of rough that, like, once you get out of this first phase, all that the artist can deliver is more art, right? Like, that's probably what they want to do, is that they want to deliver more art. But then when you're an investor, you're like, I don't want you just pumping out more stuff. So I have kind of a hard part with that, which is at some point you have to be able to switch off of, can this person deliver on the cool original thing they wanted, to, are they going to offload the next phase onto smart people? And I think that's been the problem, right, with Cool Cats and World of Women, is just like switching out who the people are in charge and getting onto the next phase. But that's, I don't know, like overall, I feel good that the original World of Women, just as an art play of what Yam wanted to come out with, I think those could hold. But I just think it's weird that as a community, we're like, hey, quit pumping out art. And it's like, well, they're artists. Like, that's what they do. So I feel like people need to reframe what they're buying those for. Because really, you're just kind of like buying, in their current state, you're buying the chance to get more art from this artist that created the original profile picture. So, you know, we've seen Cool Cats fail to pivot and make a good game. And yeah, I hope we reframe it as some of these projects, when you buy in, you then get entry to more art from that artist you like, and trying to get every single one of these to pivot off to games and utility and conferences. Like, that's not what they're good at. They're artists. So yeah, I'm just torn about that. Like, they're trying to do the project that they created.
Well said. We're going to have to see how it shakes out long-term. Node?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point, Micah. The, you know, one example would be, I think that has succeeded is obviously XCopy, right? So he created a PFP collection, but it was kind of understood.
Are you talking about Grifters?
Yeah, Grifters. Yeah, Grifters. And, you know, I bought one for like 70, and now they're up at 14. And I think it's because it's kind of understood that, you know, XCopy is just going to create art, and he's made it as an artist, and that's it, right? So,
fine art is with XCopy. Like, yes, that was a PFP collection, but it wasn't a 10,000 piece collectibles PFP collection like World of Women is, right?
Right. And I tweeted about this yesterday, but I'm a little bit, you know, probably a lot of it, I would say, bearish on just PFPs in general, because if you're gonna, all the ones that are coming out now, it's not really about the art at all. It's more about, okay, can we create some new sexy brand? And the reality is that almost nobody has proven out the model other than, I would say, Bored Apes, right? And you know, even with Doodles, like, very cool things that they're working on. And I'm sitting here wondering, okay, how does this accrue value back to my OG Doodle? I'm just not sure exactly how that works. So for me, I'm like looking more and more at fine art as a more kind of durable long-term play. Because they don't, you know, there's no execution risk if people like the art, if it's good. You know, the collector base for fine art is much more diamond-handed, I would say. So that's, I'm kind of shifting that direction myself.
Well, yeah, and really high valuations are more realistic with fine art, right? Like I said this before, once something becomes a startup company, the valuations really sober up because you can compare it to other companies. But with the fine art stuff, you can blow the roof off of that shit. I mean, look at how much a Jackson Pollock painting sells for, literally 70 million bucks. Basquiat selling for 90 million bucks. So why not get a Chromie Squiggle, right? Or like, and thank God CryptoPunks fall into that category. It seems. I think it's an interesting way to think about it. Jesse, go ahead.
That's if it's one of ones. I mean, even World of Woman with the 10,000, I'm not sure.
But that's a collectibles collection.
Right. I'm not sure that's an artist doing what they want. I mean, their original product, they had the, I forget what they call them, but like certain people get a percentage of their like revenues, right? Like there's like these super World of Women that you're like basically part of the DAO. I mean, that's already thinking about PFPs as a business model. So I don't think, it's fine. I agree. I think digital art is going to do the best in one of ones. I mean, that's going to be, you know, you're betting on income inequality. You're betting on like high net worth people getting into this. That's fine. But I think a lot of these are not. And I think people are starting to realize that, because especially with the weight, a lot of these artists, the weight of trying to keep the price up is really weighing on them. Right. Like the Wahids of the world. G-Vols, I don't know if people saw, G-Vols is there. He's raising his royalties to 80%. He's basically, I'm out. Like, if you want my art, here's my art. But trade it now because I'm raising it to 80% because I just want to be about the art. But I think there's a lot of other people. I'm not sure the people that made Cool Catch or World of Women are just like, yeah, we want to make art. I think they are kind of in this world, and you're going to, and even if you're not, like, now you are. Like, you can say, like, I started to play football for the love of the game. Like, once you make it to the NFL, like, sorry, buddy, like, now it's fucking business. Like, you just have to learn to kind of manage that. Like, you don't get to decide, basically. Like if people say NFTs are a business, they're a business. If you want to do art, hey, listen, go pick up a can of paint and a canvas. You can still do that. Or you can still just sell art. But, like, if you sell a 10K, then it's like, sorry, like, you need to understand your consumers. They're going to have that expectation. And we're seeing people, you know, like, Where My Vans Go. Like, people are like, oh, yeah, they're kind of realizing now there is an expectation there.
But Where My Vans Go is a fine art project, right? That's not like a startup. It was an open edition by a fine artist, Drift. And I put that in the category of Chromie Squiggles. I don't put it in the category of World of Women and Cool Cats. World of Women and Cool Cats, at this point, I would put them in the, whatever you want to call it, the collectibles category. But it's really like a startup at this point, right? Which is fine. It's not a bad thing. You can absolutely make startups work. You can fucking crush it. But like, Drift never said it was going to be a startup. It's a fine art project. He said that the whole time, before and after and during, for that matter. And you know, he's an artist. You're going to see his stuff in like MoMA or something, just like I think you'll see CryptoPunks and you know, Chromie Squiggles and these other fine art pieces from the NFT space in MoMA. And it's funny too, because Brian Brinkman, shout out to Brian, I don't think he's in the crowd right now. When I said CryptoPunks were like the only sure thing in the NFT space, he immediately said Chromie Squiggles. And I said, I don't have the same level of conviction in Chromie Squiggles that I do in CryptoPunks, but it's slowly starting to build. I'm like over here talking to myself into it. It's kind of crazy. So we're going to run a little long, I guess. We'll go for another 3 minutes here. I want to hear from D-Gen, and then Hunt Club Hero, you haven't spoken yet today. We got to keep this brief. We got 3 minutes. Let's go D-Gen, Hunt Club Hero, and then Renegade, and we'll wrap up. And this was a good episode. D-Gen, go ahead.
Yeah, just real quickly, going back to the Super Gucci, with only 500 of them, it's just amazing to me that you have a big brand that only has a 500 piece collection, and there's only about 367 owners. So, you know, what is the value in being in that Discord where you only have maybe possibly 20 to 30 active people? But the great part about that is you're able to communicate directly with the team out of Milan and shape their Web3, you know, experience. They've already, you know, taken feedback from us, and that's how we got to the ability to be able to be part of their first drops on some of their new collections with the Gucci Adidas collection. And so I just wanted to touch on that. And also just the fact that these big brands are going to be able, if you're looking at utility, you know, they have so many more opportunities to provide utilities to their holders.
Once they actually figure it out, because like I said, Gucci should airdrop everybody different Gucci stuff. The rare shit should be expensive as hell. And then the common stuff should be like the floor Gucci. I'm waiting for a watch company to do that. That'll be crazy.
Well, what's crazy with Gucci, too, is they've been out for 5 months, the Super Gucci, and they haven't diluted their project because, you know, they did what's kind of neat when you do a collab, that new collection, the Gucci Grail, is a separate community. So it's not really dilutive to the Super Gucci. So they could keep doing, you know, collabs. And I know that being part of the Super Gucci family, we're a part of anything they do in the Web3 space. We're going to be a part of. We've already got the one free airdrop. I just got a free statue, and I'm getting another free Gucci statue. So that's, you know, there's some serious utility in the project. I'm not sure why it doesn't have any volume, but I think it's probably one of the most overlooked projects in the space.
Because we're at or near the bottom of a bear market, D-Gent. That's why there's no volume on it. We got illiquid JPEGs out here. Shout out to Farouk, who sent me a DM. I misspoke, and Where My Vans Go by Drift is not the open edition. That's the previous collection. The open edition is called First Day Out. So I was speaking on First Day Out. Regardless, doesn't change anything about what I was saying. I still consider it all just fine art. Hunt Club Hero, let's keep it brief. We got to wrap here in a couple minutes. Yo, what's going on?
Yeah, I won't be too long. I just wanted to put a statement out there. World of Women was not the first female project on chain.
Oh, definitely not the first one on chain. I think when people were saying that, they meant like the first one to really rise to major prominence as a top 10 PFP project.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't hold either, but Crypto Chicks OG collection still has a pretty high floor, and they were minted first. So I just wanted to put that out there for the people. Other than that, I love you, and I'll be quiet.
My guy.
And also, Bored Ape Yacht Club was like the lead artist was a woman. It's like really important to remember.
Absolutely. Renegade Master, let's close out. What's going on?
To wrap up, just wanted to say I completely agree with you, Pio, on the fine art side of things. Like, I think, for example, the reason people are buying an X copy for the most part is because they believe that he's going to become one of the all-time greats, like artists in the NFT space. And we're still like 1 year into this NFT craze, but like in 20 years time, if Ethereum is successful and NFTs get the mass adoption we all think, and you know, digital art is a massive thing, Xcopy could be one of the, you know, 3 to 5 artists that are considered the holy grails of the space. And so
absolutely,
that's a completely separate investment to someone, you know, purchasing a world of women. Like that kind of goes into the speculative category. So I just think they're two completely different kettles of fish. And what we're seeing now is people deleveraging and selling off the speculative stuff and going into the fine art stuff, just because that stuff holds actual USD value. And as long as Ethereum's a success, you would think that those will stay relevant, right? Because they don't have as much or any execution risk to a certain extent. But yeah,
and even if Ethereum fails, you can wrap it and just throw it on a different blockchain like Rare Pepe's.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's also funny what you just said, like in a bull run, nobody is that excited about the fine art stuff because the liquidity is so like much lower than the collectible stuff. And then as soon as it's a bear market, everyone's like, give me that fine art stuff. All right, well, we're going to wrap here today. Thanks to everyone for listening. I want to definitely talk more about Solana in the upcoming episodes. Shout out to Cozy the Caller and Shill and Villain. I see you guys in the crowd. Shout out to the Solana fam. Easy Eats is hosting the smash hit Solana Space, Solana Show, Solana Made Easy at 5 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Thursday. So make sure you check that out. Yesterday's show was an absolute banger. We do this show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern time, where we talk all things NFT market. We will see you all tomorrow. Shout out to FTX, our sponsor. Sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code TheNifty on your FTX mobile app.